may it be so until I die. Redeeming love be our theme. It shall be till we die. Hebrews 11. Go back there with me. Hebrews 11 is, you know, the book of faith. And what is faith? Faith to believe God. Faith to believe God is God. It begins that way. He's our creator. We see clearly, don't we? Faith is evidence of the unseen God. And when he gives us his faith, we clearly see, don't we? The things of God are clearly seen. His eternal power and Godhead, but men and women in the world are blind. He's given us access. And we see him in everything. We believe God is God. He's a living and true God. In him we live. We believe God's word. Faith believes God's word. True saving faith believes, says this, let God be true and every man a liar. I believe everything. All that's written in the law and the prophets, the apostles, everything God said, I believe every word. I hang my life, my soul, my everything on God's word. Is that you? The world scoffs. The world says there's nothing to this. You say it's everything to them. It's just the opposite. We say there's nothing to this world, but this is it. Believes in God. Faith believes on the Son of God. Here's faith. We believe on the Son of God, like Simon Peter. You have words of life. I was dead until you called me. I was in darkness even as others, but now I'm in light. Now I see clearly the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is life to me. Give me Christ. He's my life. I want to win him, be found in him, know him, be with him someday in glory. That's faith. He's my all. He's my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, my redemption, my all in all, my prophet, my priest, my king, my husband, my father, my savior, my everything. Jesus Christ. This is faith. This is faith. Not a creed, not a doctrine. You don't come to a knowledge of doctrine. You meet Jesus Christ. Like Jacob, when a man came and wrestled with him. Like Abraham. Like Moses. It's a precious gift, this faith. He gives it to whom he will, this faith. When I talk about faith, we talk about life. We talk about a new birth. Faith is a gift. It's not of yourselves. It's according to the working of his mighty power. Like old Abraham, he was 75 years old. Steeped in religion. But God, is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Moses, 40 years old. Do you have, what I want us to examine is whether we're of the faith. I want us to, after hearing this, I want us to ask ourselves, do I have this precious gift? Has God given me this faith? If so, this is what you'll do. Okay? This chapter is about this great gift of faith, this life that God gives, puts in a human being. Not that it's not of yourself. None of these people would do any of these things if God did not do this work in them. And this is what you do. Look at Hebrews 11. Look at verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's brother and two brothers, Cain and Abel, born in the same house. They both heard the truth. Cain said, I don't believe that. I don't believe God's that holy. I don't believe he requires blood. I believe he'll accept the best that I can do. And so I'm just going to be a good person and do my best to please God. Surely he'll accept from me the best that I can do. And so he said, that's what I believe. Do you have any brothers or sisters like that? Anybody? Abel said, no, Cain. God is holy. God is righteous. God will by no means clear the guilt. Without the soul, a shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It is the blood that makes the atonement for the soul. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's according to His mercy. His mercy, His grace is in Jesus Christ. That though He didn't know His name was Jesus, He knew His mercy and His grace is in the woman's seed, the Christ who's to come. And I got to go on. But that's what Abel's saying. I deserve to die. And this is my hope before a holy God. The blood of this lamb, my substitute, my sacrifice. Is that you? Cain said, no, Abel. Yes, Cain. Yes. One way. One truth. One God. One faith. One way to live before God. It's the death of Christ. And Cain said, I don't like that. You calling me unsaved, Abel? Are you saying I don't know God? Apparently not. And he killed him. Anybody in your family? By faith, Enoch, verse 5, was translated, transported. They should not see death. He was not found. God translated him, transported. Who did this? God did this. Who gave him this faith? God gave him this faith. It was not of himself. God gave him this faith. God came to him like he came to Abel and revealed himself. Like he did to Adam and Eve, didn't he? Came to them and revealed to them. You're naked. You've sinned. I ought to cast you out. And I'm going to cover you. There's blood going to be shed for the remission of your sins. Now go tell your sons this. And they told them. Cain rejected it, but Abel didn't. Why? God gave him faith. Then Enoch came along in a world right before the flood, a vile, sinful, corrupt world right before the flood. Enoch believed God, walked with God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What does walk with God mean? It means you agree with God. Two can't walk together except to be agreed. He agreed with God. You're right, O Lord. You're true in everything that you say and do. This world is a sinful place. I am. You're holy and righteous. And I see clearly. It's the blood. Did Enoch believe the sacrifices? Absolutely. That's why Abel's the first example, isn't it, sister? That's why Abel's the first. You cannot come to God except by blood. So God gives the first example, Abel. And to walk with God, to please God, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Lord, I'm a sinner in a sinful world, but God, you're merciful and gracious, loving and kind. Would you have mercy upon me by loving kindness sake, for your mercy's sake? Would you blot out my transgression? Will you wash me thoroughly from my iniquity? Let the blood be propitiation on the mercy seat for my soul. That's what every single believer said. And you know what? You'll obtain a good report when it's all over. Verse 7, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. That is a deluge, destruction of the world. But he moved with fear, didn't he? Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he confessed, condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Same faith as Abel, same faith as Enoch. Noah warned, feared God, didn't he? Where'd he end up? In the ark. Ark. That ark was his life. 100 years. 100 years. Every day. Every day. For 100 years. He woke up thinking about the ark. What about it? I want to be in it. And the whole world. Ark. Judgment, righteousness, wrath, come on. But for 100 years, Noah said, I'm going to be found in that ark. I want to be found in that ark. Shem, Ham, Japheth, Dad, come on. It's been a long time now. Get in the ark. Get in the ark. Get in the ark. With every blow of his hand, didn't it? Dad, the world said, would they stop that infernal hammering? That preaching of righteousness. Would you stop that? It's noise to my ears. Like that trumpet blowing outside Rahab's apartment. She thought, blow it loud and clear. Get in the ark. That's how you know. He really blew it. 100 years. 100 years. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, when he was called to go out. See, this is all of God's people. Called the chosen of the faith. Called to do what? Come out. God said, I've heard their cry. I've heard their groaning by reason of their taskmaster. And I'm come down to bring them out. To bring them up. To bring them in. Called to go out. He went out. Who'd he leave? Family. Didn't he? He left his home, left his family. That's how you know. He's looking for where God is. By faith, verse 9, he sojourned the land of promise, looked for a city. Now let's go on down. Go on down, all the way down. There's so many examples, but I want to come to verse 24. All right? This is one of my wife's favorite stories, and mine too. And I hope yours. And I hope we can find the same faith in us that God put in Moses. All right? Verse 24. When Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was 40 years old. Now, I want you to go back to Exodus 3. It's when the Lord revealed himself to Moses. All right? Exodus 3. He was 40 years old at this time. Spent another 40 years in the wilderness. And then when he came back to lead Israel, he was 80 years old with him. But Moses was, when he was come to years, he's 40 years old. And look at chapter 3. This is where the Lord revealed himself. Now, verse 1. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now, Moses was a shepherd, and that's significant. He's going to be a shepherd to God's people. Like the disciples were fishermen. And our Lord said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Well, Moses was a shepherd, but he was doing something. He had a job. He was working this job for his father-in-law. He didn't know God. He didn't know God. Okay, he's 40 years old. And God brought him to a mountain, Horeb. That's the Mount Sinai range, is what this is. It's where the law and the word of God, where God is going to be revealed. It's a mount that burned with fire and smoke. God brings Moses to this place where he's going to meet the living and true God. God he didn't know, a God he didn't think about, a God that he didn't need. His life was being a shepherd. But God loved Moses, chose Moses. He brought him to a mountain. You know, you've been brought to a mountain. Every one of God's people have been brought, been loved, and chosen by God are brought to the mountain. What mountain? Mount Zion. The city of the living God. Mount Calvary. Look at it. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. You with me? You know how many times this is spoken of in Scripture? The God who appeared out of the bush. Look, behold, the bush burned with what? Fire. The bush was not consumed. The angel of the Lord. If you hear from God, if you meet God, he's going to send an angel. He's going to tell you about a God who's a consuming fire and the Son of God who came and made a burnt offering. Oh, yeah. You're going to find out who God is. I am that I am. In verse 3, it says, Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. I thought it was an angel. It was. But it says God. It is. It was God who was speaking to him. Was it the angel? Was it God? Yes. I've told you my story. I never get tired of it. This is my story. This is what wonderful things the Lord has done for me. I sat like your children do right now and hear me. That's just Paul. I know him all our life. That's just Paul. When I was sitting, I was just listening to Henry. That's just Henry. That's my dad. And one day, it wasn't my dad. It was God speaking to me. I heard my dad. The voice of God speaking to my dad. Melted this hard heart, broke this hard heart, pierced me through, arrow from the Lord, sharp. The bush that burned not, he heard God in the midst of the bush that burned not. He saw God was a consuming fire. He heard a voice say in verse 4, the Lord said, he said, here am I, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, God said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face. He was afraid. He feared for the first time. And down in verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. God will be known. God will first be seen. The bush that burneth not, that burneth and consumed not, that's Christ crucified. Like that rock. Paul said that rock that followed them was Christ, didn't it? He said that manna, that's Christ, isn't it? Well, that bush, what could it be? Anything but Christ and Him crucified. You know, the word bush means literally this. It means, where I had it written down here, to prick with thorns. So here it is, this bush, this prickly, thorny bush, burning but not consumed. And Moses was spellbound by it. And he heard the voice of God speaking out of this burning bush. God was in the midst of that burning bush, reconciling Moses to himself, calling Moses to himself. This thick. You remember when Saul of Tarsus met God? It said the sun, a light shone around about him, encircled him, and laid hold of him, blinded him. And our Lord, the first thing he said, it's hard to kick against the prick. Our Lord, remember when Abraham saw God? Abraham saw my day, Christ said. He rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. When did he see it? When there was a ram caught by its horns in a thorny thicket. That's Christ. And he laid hold of it. That's my life. That's my all the promises of God. Or depend on this substitute. That's my son's life. And he put that ram on that altar and burnt it up. Thorns and a consuming fire. That's this burning bush. That's crying. That's where Moses met the Lord. And that's where you will too. All of God's elect, they see, they hear the voice of God. They see his glory in Christ and him crucified. And all of them, go back to our text, Hebrews 11. All of them, like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, all the saints, like Moses, they will do these things. They will do these things. After they've seen his glory, they've heard his voice. Look at it. It says, Moses, by faith, when he was come to years, when he met our Lord at that burning bush, here's what happened. He refused. There's several things here. He refused something, he chose something, he esteemed something, he forsook everything, he feared someone, he endured, he kept the Passover unto the end. All these things. Can you give me 5 more minutes? 8 more minutes. All who truly been given this faith, They will refuse, they'll choose, they'll esteem, they'll forsake, they'll fear, they'll endure, they'll keep, they'll pass through unto the end, till the end. They'll die in faith. All right? Look at it. Verse 25. He refused, verse 24, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses said, after God met him at the burning bush, he said, I don't belong here. I don't belong in Egypt. No, Pharaoh is not my God. God is my God. These people are not my family. You see where this starts? Do you see where this starts? That's not my mother. That's not my father. God is my father. This is my family. Christ people are my family. You see where this started? Do you see this? The mouth of two or three witnesses. Not my home. Not my family. Not my world. Our Lord said in John 17, He said, I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them, but they are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. I won't pray for the world, but I pray for them. Not that you should take them out of the world, but deliver them from it. And I will, O Father, that they be with me where I am. Where is that? Out of this world, to behold my glory. If you've seen His glory now, if you've been at the burning bush, brother, you want to be there then. You will be there then. If you've seen His glory now, nothing else will be glorious to you. And you'll want to be with Him in glory. That's what you say. Lord, I want to be with You in glory. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's what I'm after. Who? You! Moses said, that's not my mother. This is not my family. This is not my home. These are not my people. Who are Moses? God's people. Like Ruth. I'm leaving this place. Your God's my God. Your people are my people. Your home, I want to die with you. I want to be buried, crucified with Christ, buried with Him, and risen someday forever. Don't you? Do you? Do you? Do you? That's all God's true people say. Without exception. Without exception. Moses chose rather. See, here's a refusal. And here's a choice. Now listen. Verse 25. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Do I have to say this? Well, I'm going to. Salvation is not our choice. You know that. Moses had already met God. Why did he choose? Because God chose him. That's why. Why did he call on the Lord? Because God called him. Why did he love the Lord? Because God first loved him. Why did he come out? Because God brought him out. How did he know? Because God taught him. Brought him. Bought him. Why did he seek the Lord? Because God sought him. Or he wouldn't have. Right? This is not given glory to Moses. It's giving glory to the God who makes a person choose suffering over pleasure. That's not natural. Is it? No, sir. Here's the world. Here's the world. Millions, pleasures of sin, all the pleasure that you get. And here's a bunch of poor people wandering through the wilderness, saying they're going to a place nobody's ever seen. Now, which here you go. Have it. Either the one you want. Moses said, I'll go with them. How about you? Anybody? I want to suffer affliction with the people of God and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Precious. More precious than gold. Jewels whose luster our lives may adorn. Pearls that the poorest may wear. Precious. More precious than gold. Oh, my. He said, See, verse 26 says he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He had his eye on Christ. He's the reward. Remember Abraham? God said, Abraham, I'm your reward. Lot wanted Sodom. He about perished with it. Abraham, by God's grace, wanted God, and he got it. Seeing Christ crucified, chose rather to suffer affliction. All of God's people do. Moses suffered affliction, didn't he? It was a trial, a great trial. To leave everything, leave his home, leave his family, wander in the wilderness all those years and dwell in tents and all that they went through. He went through everything that the children of Israel went through. Moses went through everything they went through as a type of Christ. But Moses, he esteemed the treasures of God, the treasures of Christ, more than the treasures of Egypt, because he had his eyes on his Lord, not the things of Egypt. And he suffered. How can a child of God, how can a person bow to and submit to pain and suffering over pleasure? Only the grace of God. Only a true work of God. I bring up Job all the time because he's one of the greatest examples of faith, of God-given faith in all the Bible, that God did to this one man, a real man, all at one time, everything that could be done to a human being. All the pain, all the suffering, all the affliction, he took away all his family except his wife. And I don't think she was a believer. I mean, that was just as hard as losing his kids. And all his fleshly belongings and all his health. God did it all at one time to one real flesh and blood man. And what did Job say? That trial was found unto glory and honor. He said, the Lord gave. Tears running down his cheeks. Sorrow in his heart, but joy. Sorrowful, yet rejoicing. Can you have both? Oh, yeah. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though he slay me, I'll trust him. But there's that. There's that. Eli, both of your sons are lost. They're sons of Belial. They don't know the Lord, Eli, and I'm going to kill them both. Eli said, it's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. Isn't it? Now there's faith. There's faith. Abraham, take your son, your only son whom you love, and offer him to me. And burn his body. What did Abraham do? It's the Lord. What did God do? Spared his son. See, God's grace really is sufficient. It's real. Had a man stand in our home one day in our living room after he'd gone through so much. He stood up. I remember him standing. You remember him standing there? He was going through his tough. What he was going through at the time, I thought, I wouldn't take that. But he did. And he stood there and he said, you know, he said, grace is real. It's real. Or I couldn't do this. He did. I think he's still a believer. It says he chose rather to suffer affliction. He forsook Egypt, verse 27, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Who did he fear? God. Now, Moses, everybody fears Pharaoh. I don't. Everybody's doing what Pharaoh says. I'm going to do what my God says. Didn't it? And Moses, you can't, you know, Egypt is the center of all modern technology and science and learning and knowledge. And, you know, Moses, this is the wisdom of the world.
So that's foolishness.
That's right.
Foolishness.
Christ is my wisdom.
that seeth him who's invisible. Through faith he kept, look at this, verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover. How long? 40 years. 40 years, Brother John. All the way through that wilderness. We got to stop. We got to sacrifice a lamb. Kept the Passover. God said, this do in remembrance. This do. Our Lord said, this do in remembrance of me. Come, worship. Hear the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep preaching the blood. Keep coming. Keep sitting. Keep hearing. Keep believing. Keep singing these songs. Same song of the same one about the same subject. Redemption through the blood of Christ. Keep the Passover. Lay hold of Christ. There's nothing else. Don't build a gymnasium. You don't need it. Just need a pew. Don't need a family life center. This is our family. Don't need programs for your kids. They need the gospel.
Amen.
Keep the Passover. Moses said, I think I will. Why? That's my hope. All of us. None of us we didn't get out of Egypt except one way. So that's what we're going to sing. That's what we're going to do for 40 years. Is that it? That's it. There is no other way. That's why he brought us out of the wilderness. You remember why? To hold a feast. I'm taking you out of Egypt. Or you never had that feast until that one feast. Taking you out to do what? One thing. Wander through the wilderness, keeping the Passover. Anybody tired of this? It gets better. The half has never been told. One of these days I hope to tell it. And you might just be like Enoch, just walk on out of here in the glory. We all might. Oh my, there is nothing else. Egypt. Deserts. And look at this. Through, it says by faith, verse 29, they. Talking about Moses and his people. And he was now a companion with the people of God, a sojourner, a stranger and a pilgrim, wandering through the wilderness with these people of God. He said, ain't it wonderful? Moses did, some didn't. God was not pleased with some of them. He very displeased. Some of them below the light red. Some of them said, we want to go back to Egypt. Not Moses. Not going back there. That's not my home. And some of them by his grace. All the little children. All the little children. No. We're not going back. Joshua and Caleb. Not going back there. No, sir. That's not our home. So they kept the Passover and they passed through the Red Sea that drowned the whole Egyptian world. They're bogged down in the muck and the miry clay. The Egyptians, God took their wheels off where they just sunk down in the miry clay. You know what God did for his people? Lifted us up out of the miry clay and set our feet on a rock. The shifting sands of this world. No. You'll sink, you'll drown in perdition, but not God's people. They're walking on the rock, standing on the rock, Christ Jesus, walking through this Red Sea. That is a place filled with blood, death, destruction. But the wall, the water was a wall on both sides of God's people. Not coming out of you. Why? You're standing on the rock. It says like Joshua and all the people beholding that ark, it says they all passed over. Clean over. And there wasn't one, Brother Kelly, there wasn't one spot of mud or dirt on them anywhere. Clean. And the water fed, and there's this vast gulf fixed between them and their sins and their enemies. We're here. Okay, I quit.